Hey guys, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Gamecast. I am your host, Martin. We are joined tonight by Sydney.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about the Mavericks, or break down the Mavericks' win tonight against the Pelicans. They beat the Pelicans 143-130. But first, if you like the show, please give it a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Twitter at Dallas Hoops Cast. Okay, so the Mavericks win their fourth in a row now. They improved their record to 13-14. Unfortunately, a four-game winning streak, you're still under 500. That's how much they had struggled before this win streak. They've won four out of five. No, they won four in a row and then five out of six. They beat the Pelicans 143-130. Luka was phenomenal. 46 points, 8 rebounds, 12 assists. Shot 57% from the floor, 5 of 8 from 3. Was just a monster tonight. And KP had a huge first half. He continued to play well even after the second half. He had 36.7 rebounds. As a team, and I looked at this and was just blown away by it. As a team, the Mavericks shot 58% from the floor and 55.6% from three. They were 25 of 45 from three.
Yeah, I mean, who needs defense when you make all of your three-pointers?
Well, we've been talking about this team over the last couple of days. Their defense just never materialized.
No.
They were losing a lot of games, focusing so much on defense. Mm-hmm. And I think they were like, you know what?
Screw it.
We'll worry about defense next season. Yeah. We got to worry about making the playoffs.
We'll go get Giannis. Oh.
So their offense, 143 points on the Pelicans. And the Pelicans actually, I think, and I don't remember what Doris Burke said, I think they were a better defensive team than Dallas, but their three-point shooting, and I think it might just be percentages, teams against them are just shooting a really high percentage, because Dallas tonight, I mean, they were just on fire.
They were. I will say in the first half, a lot of Kristaps' three-pointers were open. Mm-hmm. They just weren't covering the shooters very well. But the Mavericks were on fire. And when they're on fire from three,
they're unbeatable.
Yeah. And then when they're not, they scratch out wins. Mm-hmm. But, you know, yeah, tonight was a good night.
Because they create so many open, wide-open threes, mm-hmm. If they're on fire, you're going to lose. It doesn't matter what team you are. Now, I'm not saying you would lose in a playoff series, but on that night, they're going to win that game because they create more open threes than any other team in the league.
Yeah, I mean, really, it was Kristaps and Luka. I mean, mm-hmm. Hardaway only had 8 points. You know, Brunson, he was great off the bench with 13 points, but really it was those two. Kristaps was on fire in the first half. Luka was on fire in the second half. And it was just, I mean, it was just a fun game, mm-hmm. and there was absolutely zero defense from both sides.
Like, yeah.
When I looked at the box score, Zion Williamson had 2 rebounds. I was like, man, that's pathetic. But then I'm like, well, what rebound would he get? Nobody missed
a shot.
The Mavs
didn't miss any shots. Yeah. Now, he did have 36 points, and we were talking about this, how Luka's got this mentality. He's not going to let Zion, who gets all the attention, gets a lot of attention. Now, Luka gets a lot too. Yes, he gets a shoe deal with Jordan, the same brand that Luka signed with.
So, you know, Luka was like, okay.
Yes, we're not going to, just like the Steph Curry, okay, if Steph's going to come in and put on a show, I better deliver. Yeah. And Luka tonight just put on a monster, his career high 46 points. And there at the end of the game, he basically put his own foot on the throat of the Pelicans, because mm-hmm. we were getting a little nervous. We're like, here we go. Mavericks are up by 10, 12 points with 3 minutes to go. It's going to turn into a nail biter, because it always does. But Luka just basically scored every single time down the court from there on out. And it was against Ingram and Zion, which was made it even more awesome that he was just taking them to school.
He hit the logo shot from
the
logo.
Oh, yes. I know. That was nasty.
And it was beautiful. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, Dirk was a killer with that shot, but when Luka shoots it, it just looks so beautiful. Yeah.
And Luka just looks beautiful. Like, yeah, it is. Anything, I'm going to try to bypass that real quickly and just move on, because we're not going to say
anything negative.
But
it was just
negative. Amazing.
It was such a great shot. And yeah, down the stretch, he closed it out. He hit everything. He was driving it. He was hitting his step backs, his threes, his floaters. He scored on everyone. I mean, it was just, It was an awesome game. Yep. Yeah, it was like an MVP-style game. It was just, I don't know, it was awesome to watch.
Well, and if for the Pelicans, I mean, they have some questions they got to figure out, because with a floor spacing big like Porzingis, Steven Adams was ineffective.
Yeah.
Because Porzingis was basically open every single time. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did in the first half. Now, thankfully, Porzingis hit his threes. Because normally, you know, he's not like this.
He's kind of struggled a little bit this year.
But he hit his threes, and that really torched the Pelicans. Yeah. And then they went small there to close the game, but they couldn't stop Luka because they had nobody to guard the paint.
Yeah, I mean, going small, they still ended up sometimes with Zion on Luka in a switch or something. Or even if it was Brandon Ingram. I mean, Brandon Ingram is a mobile guy, but Luka was still able to get to the rim with ease.
Yeah, and I've never seen, like, I know Luka at 46, Zion at 36, but they score in completely different ways. Yeah. Like, Zion takes about 2-3 dribbles and just lays it in or dunks it. Yeah. Whereas Luka, it's a lot of
footwork.
Yeah, and finesse and style and no-look passes that he had there at the end.
Who do you think is going to win the Defensive Player of the Game belt?
Man, that's a tough one because...
I mean, who do you... Like, does anyone...
Maybe Josh Richardson? I mean, or Dorian? I mean, I would say Dorian because Brandon Ingram, he did start off hot, but he finished the game 11 from 23. Now, that's not terrible. He did have 30 points, so maybe not. I don't know who they give that to because there was no defense.
Yeah, it's not Maxey or Kristaps because Zion only missed one shot, and it was a three-pointer. I mean, I don't think it would be Luka. So that leaves maybe Cauley Stein or maybe, like Josh you said, Richardson. Josh Richardson. Maybe Dorian. I don't know. I mean,
it's kind of one of those where, like, you allowed 130 points. There really wasn't any defense played.
Yeah. Another thing, we were talking during the game about Kristaps and how he's really come around. And this might be something that, like, we'd really have to watch the games over again and look at the film to see why it's happening. But he's really found a rhythm in these past few games. And there could be a lot of reasons why. It could be the minutes that he asked for, the different rotations. It could be just time. You know, he's now, every day he's further removed from his surgery. So it could be that. It could be maybe the rotations, it just happens to be better. Maybe they're running different sets and I just don't know what it is yet. But he has really come around lately. And you said it's a good thing once he, like, demanded more minutes or just longer
stretches.
That he
did perform.
Yeah, that he showed up, because you only get that one time. Mm-hmm. You only get to say that one time.
Publicly,
Yeah, and if you don't deliver, that's it. Like, that's it for you. And he's really delivered ever since he made, I don't want to call it like a demand, but ever since he asked for that.
He made the request. I will say also, I'm really happy he performed the way he did after the last game, basically essentially getting benched the fourth quarter.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, not a lot of noise was made about that fact. I mean, it was kind of brought up a little bit, but
I thought it was weird.
Yeah, not a lot of people had talked about it, and it's because defensively he's just not moving. Mm-hmm. He just can't. I mean, we saw Zion blow right past him like he wasn't even there. He aged, you know, from 25 to 45 overnight. So it was really like a tree out there sometimes on defense. And thankfully tonight his offense and I think it was just a better matchup with the Pelicans because they had Steven Adams guarding him. He was able to really punish them. But I'm really glad he played the way he did after that game when he got benched, because hopefully that doesn't turn into a pattern based on
the getting benched.
Yeah. And
because of his defense.
Because of his defense. Yeah. And Willie Cauley-Stein, as lackadaisical as he is, I don't know if that's even the right word, is inconsistent.
Yeah. With his effort and focus.
Yes. The Mavs are a better defensive team when he's out there.
Yeah. I know Kristaps, he had 5 fouls in the last game. And so that's why he went out early. So I understand all of that. I just thought it was weird they never put him back in. Mm-hmm. But whatever, apparently it wasn't a big deal to anyone on the team, even to Kristaps, because now, like, I didn't see a post-game interview with him, so I don't know, but he seemed fine today, so I guess it was just nothing. Well, I thought it was weird, but I guess not.
At this point, he's, I don't know if he's fighting for his career, you know, like, maybe on who he is as a player, but there is some concern there defensively with him. I mean, He just can't move. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
I keep interrupting
you. No, go ahead.
Well, Doris Burke talked about that on the ESPN broadcast because they were talking about, is Kristaps good enough to be the second star on a championship team? Which is what Mavs fans have talked about on Twitter. That's like one of the number one debates. Is Kristaps good enough to make it worth it to deal with the max contract and the injuries that could happen? And Doris Burke said, kind of like what we've said, is that offensively, he's great, especially once he finds his rhythm, which everyone expects him to do. He's a star. He's amazing. But the defensive end, if he's going to be the second star where you're investing that money, you're investing that spot and those heavy minutes, he's got to be better defensively. And I don't think that's unfair. I mean, it's just a fact that that second player has to be that good. And yeah, I stick with the whole time will tell thing. I think because of the injury, there is still room for this being part of the recovery where he will get better defensively. But it's one of those things. We'll have to see.
I wonder if they try some other defensive schemes like zone. Like
they've
maybe,
done that more in the past few games.
Yes, but maybe they start focusing on that and making that their priority when he's out there because it allows him to not have to move around as quickly. He's not getting stuck on guards. He's usually, he's got his area that he defends, which is the rim, which when he's there he is a pretty good shot blocker and makes it difficult on the offensive player. But I don't know. We'll see. But man, he was awesome tonight. And especially in that first quarter, he was just on fire. He had a couple logo shots.
Oh, yeah.
36 points on 21 shots is pretty insane. Yeah, he just had a great... Him and Luka tonight, and when you look at the box score, nobody else shot more than 8 times. And that was Tim Hardaway. He was 3 of 8.
But Luka, outside of Luka and Porzingis.
Yeah. Luka and Porzingis were just on fire that... Like, why pass it? And the defense just couldn't stop them.
Yeah. One more thing about Kristaps' defense. You talked about maybe changing their scheme. And, you know, we've talked about that because they Kristaps does a lot of drop coverage. Like, he drops back because he's not mobile enough to really stay or to switch or to hedge even, I guess. But then he drops so far back that it ends up opening like a wide open shot, either as a three-pointer or even just in the mid-range. And so, yeah, that I feel like their defense sometimes is so, I don't want to say like passive. It's sometimes just so soft. So I wonder if they'll change it a little bit to try to mask some of his
problems.
Well,
it's like I said before this game started. I said the Mavericks will probably win because the Pelicans don't have a guard that can kill the Mavericks.
Oh, yeah. You did say that.
Yeah, because they really struggle with guards right now, that especially ones that can pull up for three. Steph, obviously, at 57. Dame is probably going to kill the Mavs. Yeah. Now, the Blazers are almost as bad defensively as...
Yeah, but so, Damian is salivating right now.
Yes.
Like, he's getting his diss track ready right now.
Yeah, so, and then anytime there's a really good playmaking guard, they kill the Mavericks. And they have Chris Paul was a monster against Dallas because of their inability to play the pick and roll defense because of Porzingis and you know, even Joe Ingles.
Yeah.
Because he's such a good playmaker and he's a good three-point shooter. Yeah. He killed the Mavericks. So that's ultimately probably going to be their downfall this year if they made the playoffs, depending on matchups. I mean, if they get matched up with somebody that doesn't have a guard,
which would be
the Clippers.
Yeah.
You know, the Clippers gave them trouble last year.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a playmaking guard and they kind of mask Porzingis, and they don't really play a lot of pick and roll.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And I've really do expect Damian Lillard to just go off against the Mavs because, first of all, he always does.
Yeah.
Against Dallas, and because we just don't have anybody that can prevent him from shooting a three off a screen.
Another thing that I noted that we talked about tonight was Brunson as a Mavericks' second playmaker. Like, he's kind of become that. Even though he comes off the bench, he plays a lot with Luka now that their rotations are different. And I noticed that he's starting to get kind of heavier minutes and also a heavier role in making plays with the ball. And he's kind of like, he's taken that role, which I think originally maybe was supposed to be Josh Richardson, and now it's Brunson. And one thing that we can talk about is that he's been really good at it, but also too, it shows like, man, if they had like an actual second playmaker, imagine how amazing this team would be.
I do think that's a good point. Brunson deserves a little bit more attention than we typically give him. And early on in the year, we were roasting him because
you were roasting.
No, you were too.
We can
pull the tape. Okay. We were both on Brunson's.
I don't think so.
And just like, just killing the guy.
I've always liked Brunson.
Okay, whatever. You're going to be one of those. Okay. So he struggled to start the season. Oh, a lot like a lot of the Mavericks and the team as a whole. But, man, the last month, he's actually looking like a really good player. We were laughing about Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson saying that he's a starting point guard in this league. And we were like, sell him up.
I still don't think he's a starting point guard.
But he's been good.
Yeah,
he's been really good, and you just see he's playing more confident. Mm-hmm. Like, he's playing with confidence. He's playing with belief that he can do the things that he's been doing lately.
Yeah, I was looking at his per month splits. In December, he was averaging about a little less than 11 points. In January, he averaged a little less than 12 points. This month, he's averaging 12 points. But also, his rebounds have almost doubled, and his assists are up. His shooting from the three-point line has dropped from last month, but his overall efficiency, I mean, these are like slight incremental upgrades, but he's playing well in that role.
He's efficient,
and I think it's interesting that, to me, it looks like they've made a conscious shift in who's going to be dominant playmakers. It's now Luka and Brunson when he's out there instead of whatever it was.
And then Hardaway is kind of the third. And then Richardson is just, they don't really run plays for Richard. I mean, they do run some pick and rolls a little bit from here and there, depending on the defense. Like, they really have been attacking the poor defenders on the opposing team.
Yeah.
It was Trae Young. It was tonight. It was, who was it tonight that they kept attacking?
I mean, if you got torched by Jalen Brunson as Trae Young did.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're singing Brunson's praises, but, you know, put it in context, you know, you're getting torched by Jalen Brunson. You are a terrible defender.
Yes.
I mean, Brunson is good, but, you know.
Jalen had the game of his season. He had the best game of his season. Yeah. So tonight they started to attack J.J. Redick a little bit. Now, Redick was only in there for about 14 minutes. But while he was out there, anytime Redick was guarding Brunson, he attacked him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mavericks have been doing that a lot lately. And that's why you'll see stretches, I think, where Richardson is getting buckets and Hardaway is getting buckets. I think they're just starting to just attack the matchups because they don't have a legit secondary playmaker, but maybe they can take advantage of some of the weaker defenders on the opposing team. And the teams they've been playing lately, they have a lot of those.
That's a good point. And I wonder if that's another reason why they've given more responsibility to Brunson as a playmaker, because in order to attack those weaker defensive players, obviously, Luka can do that, but you need other options in case there's switches or just he can't do it every time. And so telling Brunson, like, we want you to do this, that way they have more options to attack those weak defenders.
Yeah, well, look, Luka has, he gets the best defender every night.
Mm-hmm.
Every play.
Yeah.
Like, whoever the team they're playing is, the best wing defender is going to be on Luka every night, hands down. First of all, if you just think about that and how awesome he is, where he's getting the team's best every night and he's dropping 30, 10, and 10 or whatever. But the other players who don't have that guy, like, you know, they have the guy that they try to hide.
The Trae Young.
Yes, exactly. They're trying to hide them on defense. So the Mavericks, I think, lately have been attacking those players, and thankfully they've been making their shots.
Yeah, and then Hardaway, he's pretty much just like, if he's on fire, he's having
a
great game.
It doesn't matter who's in his face.
Yeah, but like if that is the case, then he gets, you know, like 15 shots or something, and he carries them for that game. But if not, then he's kind of just a solid guy off the bench, which is what we've talked about. It's like when he's on fire, he's a luxury, and then they run it through him a lot more. But if not, then it's really like Luka and Brunson. And I don't know, like right now it's easy for me to love this because
they're winning.
They're winning. But do I love the fact, if I really ask myself, that Brunson is the Mavericks' second playmaker? You know, I'm not crazy about that. I'm not really confident in the long-term future of that plan.
Yeah, well,
I'm glad it's working.
Yeah, what we've talked about this season, it's all about salvaging the season, making the playoffs, salvaging the season, and the whole step forward and all that. They didn't get the players to do that anyways. And they tried to be a defensive team and all those things, and it didn't work. And so they were like, let's go back to what was working last year. Let's try to win as many games as possible. Mm-hmm. Even if we just end up with the seventh seed again, we can't not make the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
And that's why I think you don't hear a lot of noise from Carlisle about how their defense isn't there and whatever. Yeah. They're not having come to Jesus meetings after every game about their defense anymore. It's now just go out there and score, outscore the team and try to get a stop when you need one.
I mean, you know, like Josh Richardson is a good defender in his own right, but outside of that, it's still Dorian and Maxey and these guys that they're good defenders, but it's the same guys you had last year. So whatever your defense was like last year, you have those same guys. It's going to be the same. You added Josh Richardson. Theoretically, your defense should have taken a big jump, but you know what? It didn't. So and it is what it is.
Defense is team defense. And yeah, Josh Richardson can only guard a guy so well. And if you don't have anybody in the paint that's going to help, like Porzingis is supposed to.
He's struggled, Or with pick and roll heavy teams.
Exactly. And
you know, Richardson is only one half of
that. And he does come over. He never goes under a screen, which is what you want him to do. You want him to go over and chase the player to make him a little bit uncomfortable. But because Porzingis has dropped down so much, that leaves these guards a wide open three. Or in Steph's case, he get, you know, stop and shoot every time. And Trae Young does that a lot, too. I noticed, just real quickly on a side note, you know how Steph, after he makes a shot, he does that little pat on his chest and points up? Trae Young does the same thing. And I'm like, dude, get your own thing. Like, well, that one's already taken.
Sometimes he does the shivering thing because he's ice Trae.
Yeah, and
Trae.
It looks terrible. Anyways, defense is team defense. And you need to have a defensive anchor. And your defensive anchor is typically your last line of defense. He's the guy that's standing behind everybody, is watching the floor, and is communicating everything that's going on. And without that, it doesn't matter how good you are individually. If you don't have that last line of defense there, then you're just not going to be very good.
Well, and just that communication that, you know, on defense, everyone has to be connected on a string.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're playing zone or man, or, you know, regardless, everyone's got to be communicating and connected. You have to be on a rubber band with your rotations and your movements. And so,
discipline, yeah.
Yeah, and so that comes, I think some of that comes with time, either due to chemistry or training or mindset. The Mavericks just, they didn't have that this year. And it sucked because also their offense sucked. And so they just sucked. And, you know,
I think it comes with the right players and specifically the right center. And I'm not sitting here saying Porzingis isn't that guy. I'm just saying, like, he's got to become that guy.
Yeah.
He's got to become that last line of defense. I would almost rather him be a better defensive player than offensive player, because we can score.
Yeah.
We can score with Luka. He always is getting open shots, but we need someone to clog the paint and make it difficult on opposing teams.
You know who I think was the player of the game tonight?
If you're going to say anybody but Luka, then I'm just going to end this pod.
I'm going to carry on the Seth Ceballos notion from player the other of the game. I think it's Dwight Powell.
Dwight Powell.
Now, I know last game he only played 5 minutes.
But he got the player of the game by Cedric Ceballos.
Tonight he played 1 minute. I'm going to say he really electrified the team. And so I'm going to say it was Dwight Powell.
What a joke.
It was a good minute that he, I mean, he was neither negative nor positive.
He
on
essentially
the plus
played 1 minute because I think Cauley Stein had got his third foul and it wasn't time for Porzingis to come back in yet.
Yeah.
He didn't want to bring Porzingis in that early.
1 minute early.
Hey, you know, it matters.
I mean, we've talked about this in the past few post-game episodes, how Carlisle has really tightened the rotation. And I think that's helped a lot too, because you have your best talent out there. And we've talked about how, like, sometimes he feels like he's got to play every single guy on the team at least 15 minutes. And so you just, for stretches, have guys out there that just aren't very good.
And, you know, I agree with that. But at the same time, I do think you got to be a good enough team to where when you're going against a lesser opponent, you can afford a few extra minutes of rest. Because there's going to be games where you're going against the Lakers and the Clippers and the Bucks where you need your stars to play 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Luka played 40 minutes tonight. And I'm not sure you want to be the kind of team where he's got to play 40 minutes to beat the Pelicans. I feel like you want to get to a point. They're not that this year.
Yeah.
But you want to get to a point where when you're going against the lesser opponents, then he can get his 33, 34 minutes and just play normal basketball. And then that way when you run him a little bit more against the better teams, it's not that big of a deal. But he's been like over 37 minutes now, like 10 games in a row. They can't afford not to. And he'll be fine. It's not like he's going to drop dead. Yeah, he'll be fine.
I think, like you said, they're not that team this year. No. Like, that's a problem for Cuban and Donnie Nelson to solve. For right now, with Carlisle,
so it won't be solved.
I like the fact that he's, you know, determined to just win games.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of these things, like the deep rotations. The minutes, he's kind of tightened things up to where it's like, okay, I can't rest guys all the time. They have to play. We just got to win these games.
Yeah, part of their free agent success is going to depend a lot on their record. If they were to finish the season below 500 and miss the playoffs maybe Luka's not that good. So, yeah, a lot of their free agent success is going to depend on the season. I think it's important to make the playoffs and have a winning record and Luka and Porzingis playing well, not so much because they're going to win the championship this year. They're not. But to make it appealing to the free agent market, which is loaded.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many guys.
So many guys.
In 2022.
So many guys.
So
I'm excited.
I don't know. Fun win.
It was a good game.
Yeah.
Good stretch. February, when we looked at the schedule.
Thank goodness.
It was a super easy schedule. I don't know if this is right now. I don't know if they're in the midst of this. At some point, they have a 7-game homestand.
We're in the middle of it right
now. Okay, we're in the middle of it. And then, like, they do have some tough games in the month. For example, on Sunday, the Blazers game. Even though the Blazers haven't been amazing, it's always a tough matchup. I remember going back to, I think, last year and the year before, for some reason, the Mavs-Blazers games were always these tightly contested, awesome games. And so that's coming up. I think they have games against the Nets. So, like, there are some tough games in here, but this schedule, while it's easy, they need to feast on it because they're not a great team. When they face those tougher opponents, there's, you know, a 50-50 chance or higher that they'll lose. So as long as they win these games, that's what you need to do, at least achieve to where you should be, and then hopefully you can steal some games here and there.
Yeah, those losses against the Bulls and the Hornets and that early in the season is really going to hurt them. But, you know, Portland, they're 14-10, but they also have a lot of injuries with Nurkic out and CJ McCollum is out. But they have Damian Lillard, and Lillard against the Mavs, he just has a night, and he's going to come in and have a night. Thankfully, we got our own baller that he's just not going to let somebody come in and put on a show without him having something to say about it. If they continue to play like they've been playing, they should win. Portland's not a great defensive team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as confident.
With the injuries.
Yeah,
I'm saying, with the injuries and the way the Mavericks are playing right now, I fully expect them to come out of that game with a win.
So McCollum is out for a while? Oh, okay, yeah. Out for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't know that.
And Collins is still out. So I fully expect the way the Mavericks are playing, the defense that Portland plays, and the fact that they're out so many players, I fully expect the Mavericks to win that game.
Yeah, I guess with those injuries. Mm-hmm.
And Luka's feeling it right now.
He is.
He's starting
a
real rhythm, and he's starting to feel real good. And we've seen stretches where, like the month of November last year, averaged a 30-point. There were some games where it was just so easy for him. So we'll see. Until then, thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast and this post-game show. And we will talk to you after the Blazers game. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you for listening. Bye.
Just had to say it. Just had to have the last word.
I just like having the last word. I feel like my goodbye means more than yours does.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that. Thanks. Okay. Bye, everybody. Okay.
All right.